Episode 47 of This Developing Story. Cool. Another week, another podcast. So this week I'm actually working on a lot of Go. I'm actually getting kind of stuck on some of these computer science concepts. Not having a mentor is proving to be kind of challenging, but I'll figure it out. So yeah, this week I'm actually building a hash. So like a dictionary or a map, basically, in Go. Or I guess a hash table is what it's called in computer science. And yeah, building that and finding that challenging to kind of figure out how to rebuild that without trying to use like all the extra things and the easy things that you can have like in Ruby. Since I'm using Go, you can't build it the same way in Ruby. You don't get like that same like weird sort of like abstractions and what do you call it? Sugar syntax is the term I'm looking for. But anyway, working on that. Open source that React Native project. I'm actually going to have like my first contribution coming pretty soon from someone other than me, which is pretty cool. I've got some broken things that I didn't even notice all week. So I'm actually going to be triaging issues this weekend and just looking forward to finally approaching Android and React Native and seeing how easy or hard that's going to be. But yeah, that's me. So this episode, actually, I'm talking with Tina Lee from Mother Coders. Mother Coders is an awesome organization that focuses on teaching women with children how to code. Me being a son of a mother and a husband of a mother, I really like this organization. I like the idea that the focus is not only on women, but also on women who wouldn't necessarily be able to attend a meetup at night at 7 o'clock in downtown in whatever city or metropolis that they live in. So super interesting organization. I'll let Tina explain that more. But yeah, if you're interested, definitely listen up for some links and some things in the show notes as far as more on her organization. Without further ado, here is Tina.
Okay, so I am Tina Lee. I am the founder and CEO of Mother Coders. We are a nonprofit that helps moms gain a point of entry into the tech industry. We provide on-site childcare while the moms learn on a part-time basis how to build a website. They get to hear from other women technologists from the fields about the latest and greatest topics, and they get to network and build community with each other as well as these women from the field so that they have the support they need to keep going after they leave our class.
Cool. And so we met, I asked you to go on the podcast mm-hmm. because we met a couple weeks ago at the Lesbians Who Tech mm-hmm. event for a bootcamp showcase. Yep. And out of all the people that were there, you were like the most unique because you guys, not only you're a bootcamp, but you guys also are a nonprofit. There are other nonprofits there, but I found like the approach of not only gearing like just to women, but also to women with kids. Very unique than any other aspect of the boot camps were represented there. So I understand that you followed a similar path mm-hmm. as far as to your alignment in Mother Coders and going after, you know, women who want to learn how to code. So how did you get into code?
Yes. So I started my career at Accenture, which is a management consulting company that focuses in tech integrations. And that was my first foray into the industry. I was taught to do a little bit of it, but I didn't use it on the job every day, so I lost it eventually. And then my second foray into it was when I was at grad school. I was doing the Learning Design and Technology program at Stanford School of Education, and it was very interdisciplinary. And my whole reason for going was because I wanted to find a better way of integrating and using technology to increase civic engagement and specifically political participation by marginalized communities. And through that experience, you know, I started designing things and making things, and that's when I started doing it again. But I graduated in 2010. I had my daughter in 2011 and then another daughter in 2013. All the while I was going to workshops here and there because I wanted to skill up, but realized very, very quickly that most of the environments that I found myself in, it's not that they weren't women friendly, they just weren't women embracing, and that's fine. But going as a mother, I found that I was feeling super alienated because there was no one else like me there. And I'll tell you a very sad story about how I went to one workshop specifically for women. It was hosted at a startup in South Market. And during lunchtime, while everyone was networking and hanging out, I was in a room that looked like it was reserved for engineers who don't go home, a place for them to sleep. And as you can imagine, it's January, the heat is off, the lights are off, and I'm back there pumping breast milk by myself. And it was just, you know, it was sad. I'm not gonna lie, it was sad. But it wasn't the first time that I had to do that. And I just, you know, looked around and realized, you know, that there was a need. And when I wanted to really pivot away from the job that I was at, that I was feeling wasn't technical enough for me and wanted to skill up, the only way for me to do it was to either go to a boot camp, which required you to quit your job, give them $15,000, and then do, you know, just boot camp for 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I had a one-year-old, a two-year-old. I couldn't do that. And then when I had my second daughter, forget it, right? So all the ways in which someone would access education, I've already mentioned workshops, boot camps, online education, right? It's not a great way for parents or someone with caregiving duties to learn. With women and kids in particular, if you're working all week, it's very difficult to leave your kids at night and on the weekends for a long period of time. It's just something that most parents have a hard time with, least of which is because of the childcare, reliable childcare. Unless you have a family or you can afford the childcare, which, you know, ranges from informal $20 an hour to $25, you know, it gets up there. So I realized there was a need, and the moms that I wanted to serve were the ones that were kind of stuck, right? They're in a job where they're working and they're not learning new tech and they're not getting to skill up, but yet they don't have the resources and the time to go current market, right, of boot camps and workshops. And then on top of that, as someone who's new and looks at tech and tries to figure out what their place should be, it's very hard to figure out where to start. I'll have moms running up to me, Python or Ruby? And you're like, I don't know. What do you want to do? Right? They're like, I don't know. My friend told me Python's awesome. So what I realized was that there was another step even before the boot camps, right? If you look out into the ecosystem, there's a bunch of people that would be more keen on buying these services and going to these classes if they had a better sense of what a career path might look like for them based on their passions, their educational and work experience, right? So the reason why we called it a tech orientation program was because we knew that there were moms who wanted to get more technical, but they didn't know where to begin, and they just needed a safe and supportive space for them to come together and learn together and build a foundation so that they would have enough confidence and knowledge to figure it out and create a roadmap and work towards that. And as I've mentioned, we've graduated two classes now. And I was just thinking yesterday, it's been 2 years, and we do have, you know, moms having jobs, landing jobs in tech as web developers, as designers. Very exciting.
Wow. That's awesome. I could definitely empathize with like what you went through as a husband to a wife who also had to breastfeed and also had to, you know, take kind of not, she didn't have to step down, but I mentioned to you, and I think a lot of our listeners on the podcast know my story, where my son was born 10 weeks early, and we had to make a decision. Like, my wife basically decided to stay home for that time, and also since then she's been at home, just because it was a birth that was challenging, and then post-birth it was challenging. So she decided to take a step back, and now she's at a position where my son's 2 years old and she's like ready to do something else. She's ready to like, you know, look into different things. And she's like, I, honestly, I think that she's like a perfect candidate for Mother Coders because she has interest in web. She, because I do web, so she's done a couple of tutorials, but she's now getting into, like, she has an Etsy shop now, which is another thing. So I think your positioning for Mother Coders is really, really unique too, because like, there's tons of stay-at-home moms and also working moms who are doing things on the side just to patch their creativity bug that they have in the back of their head, and it's like looking for avenues. And I think for meetups, I think we miss out on a lot of opportunities in meetups. For example, like one thing that happens in meetups a lot that's not super relevant, but it happens where every meetup's got beer in it, and not everybody drinks beer. So that's exclusive to people who don't drink. So just like having actual space for women to breastfeed if they need to, that's another thing we just don't think about, and especially being a male-oriented, you know, tech.
And the meetups are at night, right? The meetups are usually in the evening. Kids go to bed early. You know that. They got to go home, take a bath, eat dinner, and go to sleep, and you disrupt their pattern, you're going to pay.
I know that. Like my son has to say goodnight to me every night. So if I stay out late for a meetup, or if I don't get home by his bedtime, he stays up later because he won't go to sleep until he says goodnight to me. So that's like something that I personally feel, and I totally understand. So like, definitely more opportunities for people who don't fit the same, you know, cultural confines of a male tech worker who can stay up late as long as they want, and you know,
and it's
attend these events.
And it's not just the business case for loss of innovation and creativity and human capital, right? I mean, me with my background, working and advocating for marginalized communities, there's a real economic justice piece here. And if you think about women with kids, so women already face a gender wage gap. On top of that, there is something called a motherhood penalty, right? So you add on to that where you're going to be seen as less competent, less committed to your career. You're not going to be promoted. You're not going to be given the choice project. So for a mother with kids, you make certain decisions about your career where it may not be the best for you in the long run, meaning you'll take a job that you might be overqualified for because you want to have a job where there's some flexibility. And then when you try to get back in the market, you know, it's not like someone said, oh, you've been parenting, you've learned all this stuff, we should actually put you back where you were, not like even further behind. So there's a piece of falling behind in terms of career advancement. But then there's also a piece that's related to just getting paid less in general and being in jobs that are being paid less, right? Tech is where all the growth is right now. That's where the demand is. That's where I feel like I could make a difference in the lives of families, because for women who already have a degree, who already have work experience, they just need that tech piece to layer on top of their skill set to really be able to contribute in a very valuable and real way, right? I mean, I have one mom who just started working as a web developer at Gap. So she did the Mother Coders program. She did some workshops on her own. Really hunkered down and decided that she wanted to do web development, ended up doing a part-time JavaScript bootcamp. From there, she worked for a startup for a little bit to get some experience. And then the startup, as startups do, you know, went another direction. And now she's at Gap and she's so happy. This is her dream job, you know? So it basically took her 2 years to get here after, I think she graduated in May and now, you know, it's March. So almost 2 years for her to land her dream job. And she's so thrilled because she's on a track where she can see herself growing and contributing in a way that she wasn't able to before in her old job as a lab scientist. And that's just one story, you know?
That's awesome. And one thing that you mentioned is like just even like awareness is like something that's good. I know you guys, you go into like that diversity of just women and also women who have kids, but just the awareness of women who have kids to know that this is an option for them is also huge too. Cause I know I battled this for myself where I'm a minority and I grew up knowing code was a thing and knowing programming was a thing, but I took a couple classes, but I didn't know it was a career path I could actually excel in. Because I didn't pursue it all through high school and middle school. So I just assumed, oh, I should probably get a business degree and do something stable as a minority. And I think As a minority, we take that option. We take the easier option. So mothers who maybe have kids who are okay to get back in the workforce, and they think, oh, I need to go back and work my way up through the corporate ladder once again. But knowing that you could, like, just giving that awareness of mothers that, hey, you don't have to go back and, you know, go back in the corporate food chain. Why don't you start a business, start your app that you've always wanted to do, or get a job or go to a boot camp and get a job in a startup to learn how to do code.
Like crazy. Really crazy is that even for those that know a little bit about the industry will be like, oh, I could be a designer or a developer or a programmer, right? But there are so many other roles where if you just had a little bit of technical expertise, you could jump right in, right? And in terms of how the industry is progressing nowadays, no one really cares how your tech works. It just has to work well. It's all about design. It's all about understanding the business and the user as opposed to understanding all the nuts and bolts that go behind it. So I feel like we've arrived at a point in the industry where it's much more valuable to have someone who understands the customer and their business needs and, you know, kind of how to design a system around that rather than like, oh, I know all these different programming languages. What would you like me to build, right? Building the right thing is where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. So you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, you guys connect other, I guess, alum or people who've gone through the program. I'm not sure what the term is, but graduates of the program, mm-hmm. to other people in the tech industry. How mm-hmm. does that work? Do you guys give them like warm introductions?
So what happens is it's built into the curriculum, right? So,
okay, cool.
I was raised by my grandparents in Chinatown, San Francisco, and I didn't know about the concept of social capital until I got to college. And actually someone wrote it out like, this is social capital. I was like, I don't have that, right? So ever since then, I've been, you know, an active cultivator of social capital for myself and others, right? Because it's how it works. So for me, it's about making human connections. You could be the best program in the world, but if you don't know anyone in the industry, chances are it's not really going to work out that well for you, right? So for me, getting these moms exposure to real practitioners in the field is really important. Having them make a human connection is really important. So we have three components to our program. One component is the technical side where they learn how to build a website. And we use an online curriculum for that. And then it's just a way for them to write some code, see how it feels like to put something out there in the world, design something and build something, to get them some confidence, right? And then the second part is knowing what I call context around it. So what are the factors that are driving certain industries or driving certain technologies? So things from privacy to design thinking to data, big data, to what else have we done? We've done like all these different kind of mini lectures on different things. And we get women from the field to come in and teach to those specific topics because I could never know as much as they know. And for them to hear it, the latest and the greatest from a real expert from the field and meet her and form a connection with her is going to be very powerful. And then the last piece is more of that, right? The community. These moms aren't going to meet each other on the playground. It's just not going to come up. Like, hey, you code, I'm trying to code too, right? It's just probably not going to come up. So for them to have found each other, they have a tribe now and they can call on each other. And I'll tell you that our grads go off and they go to conferences together. They do workshops together. We've all become friends. We, you know, whenever there's an event or whatever, I try to get them tickets so we can all go. So the three components really all work together and it's instrumental, for us to be able to get women from the field to come in and talk to these moms. And I try to get moms in particular, because you can't be what you can't see. So the moms who come in, keep it real. We've even had a speaker who had a, I think, 9-month-old, and she brought him because she didn't have childcare and she was nursing. And in the middle of her talk, her baby started crying. And I was like, either you're going to nurse him or I can nurse him. So you just decide what you want to do. So she started nursing him and it was totally fine. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen anywhere else.
Yeah, that's definitely, again, it's such a unique program. And I'm glad that this is an option for people. Another question that I had, so you guys have a curriculum that you go through. Mm-hmm. How's the curriculum built? Or do you guys have like people who write the curriculum, or are you writing it?
Yeah, I did my master's degree in learning design and technology through the Stanford School of Education. So I'm trained to do stuff like this. And I've also done curriculum and training for Zero Divide, which is a nonprofit that provides technical expertise and capacity building in technology to other nonprofits. So I've done it before. And we basically iterated on it. You know, we got some feedback and we ran it, right, through a pilot. And then we are constantly refining it and we're switching up the topics all the time because, you know, things change very quickly. One of the biggest learnings I had was I was like, okay, we only raised enough money to have 6 classes the first time, right? Because you have to raise money to rent the space and then the caregivers, and then we catered lunch so the moms wouldn't be running around during lunch. And I scheduled every minute, like every minute was packed. Even lunchtime, they had a lunchtime speaker, right? And so I thought I was being efficient, but the moms were like, yo, I just want to hang out with her. Can we just hang out for a little bit and not? I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. You're right. The community piece is actually the most. Read up on these topics later. This time is actually for you to hang out with each other and learn with each other. So that was a major learning for me that had nothing to do with, you know, technology.
And so how many cohorts have you guys gone through from other quarters?
We've done
since inception.
We've done 2. So we did 2 in 2014. 2015, we spent time in an accelerator. And then now we're gearing up for another class. One of the things that's most challenging for us is finding a space that can also accommodate kids, right? So the state of California has one of the strictest sets of regulations around child care facilities. And, you know, that's fine. Though I have some issue with some of the things. It's just you have to work around it. So the environment itself has to be child-friendly, child-proof, right? And then you have to be able to have also a space that's separated from the moms, because if they can smell you, they're going to be all up on you, right? So we need to separate them and then bring the caregivers in. So that's been very challenging, is figuring out a space that can do that. And I'll tell you, you know, we have not been able to serve moms with older kids, because kids that are 3 and under, they're pretty easy to entertain, right? But like once you get a little older, they're going to need more programming. So now we're looking into partnerships with other youth serving programs to see if we can co-locate and double up. But for this next one, we're going to keep doing what we've done, which we found a space in San Francisco that's able to do that. That's different than the one that we used before, because they shut down the childcare part of it. So all this to say, we're going to finally have our ducks lined up in a row to launch another class. So we're going to be opening up enrollment probably within the next month for a summer class. And then we're going to do another one specifically for women veterans with kids, because you can just imagine it's like another layer of challenges.
Yeah, that's awesome. So are you able to say where the space in San Francisco is, in case someone's listening and was like, they want to start thinking in their head how they can get there?
I'm not comfortable saying it yet, because we're still doing numbers and, you know, so.
Okay, that's cool.
It should be soon.
I could put a link into the site for registration or whatever needs to be done for someone to get more information. So we'll do that instead.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just thinking in my head. I'm like, oh, wow. I don't know. Maybe if my wife wants to do it, we can start planning ahead how we can get to San Francisco. And very cool.
One thing that I insist on is having it be transit friendly. So it is next to a Muni train stop, not a bus stop, a train stop, which is a little bit better. It's a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm not too confident on how better that is. I've ridden the meeting and I usually try to avoid it. But
yes.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. Did you have any other people, any other stories that come to mind of people who've been successful in the program?
Yeah, so, you know, and you know this, right? Because you relocated too after you gained your skills. we had a mom in our pilot class. Her name is Sarah. And she, like you, was married to a partner who was also a web developer. So she was dabbling and she's like, oh, I'm actually good at this. So she was building little things to help her daughter learn her numbers and, you know, her alphabet and stuff like that. But she didn't have a safe space to kind of do it in a focused way and the context to kind of bring it all together, right? So she did our class. We had her daughter in our childcare program. She was two. And after the first class, I was like, okay, so this is an experiment. That was the first class. Do you have any feedback? What should we do differently next time? She was like, you know what? Do you think I can bring some champagne next time and we can just hang out after class? I was like, wow, you have lost your mind. You forgot who you are. Your kid's next door. You need to go get her. You cannot come and hang out and get drunk with us, right? But that's how hungry she was for the interaction and the safe space, right? So fast forward, 6 weeks later, she has built a new portfolio website that showcases her new skills. And she was like, you know, I'm just going to throw up on like one of the, I think Indeed or one of those, job boards. And she got contacted by a recruiter. And she was a working mom at that time, working in a tech startup, but only in a business support role, right? So she wasn't touching the tech at all. And she did so well on her interviews that she got hired within a month after graduating from our class. And then the year after she started working there, at 1 year after she had been promoted, she had bought a home. So that's how confident she felt about, you know, her earning capacity. And then she and her husband decided, like, you know what, they're both from Ohio. Like, it's too much here. We want to go back to Ohio. So now she went back to Ohio, and she is on the engineering team of a local startup. So these skills are so transferable. She knew that she could take them anywhere. And before she even, one of the places that she thought about going to was Austin. And before she even got there, she had landed a job. So, you know, she's thrilled and she wants to open a chapter of Mother Coders in Ohio. And, you know, I want to help her. We're working on that, right? So, yeah, that just warms my heart. Yeah, because she has completely just changed her life and now is on a path to success in an area where she has roots and she's happy and thriving.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I'm sure she's got like family support too and also and all that other stuff, which is pretty huge with kids. That's pretty awesome. And so with that being said, so San Francisco is the only place that Mother Coders is at the
moment? Right now, but I am talking to people. I want to have some in Oakland. A lot of our moms have been coming in. Not all of them were San Francisco-based. So I feel like we have enough interest in the East Bay to figure out a way to host a class there. But like I said, the challenge is the childcare space. And I have some really awesome ideas around that. And I'm talking to people around that. And I think it's doable. At least like an experiment is doable. So we'll probably try that later on in the year for the vet class, if not the vet class and the one after that.
Cool. So Tina, if someone wants to reach out to find out more about Mother Coders or help out, what can they do?
Please visit our website, mothercoders.org. We also have a Facebook page, and of course, we're on Twitter. If you go to our website, you can sign up for our newsletters, which will also get you the latest and greatest information about what we're up to, including the new class sessions that we're going to be launching later on this year, one in July and one later on, probably around September or October.
And I know after we actually exchanged an email, and I had I was a donator to Mother Coders about a year ago. If someone wanted to, maybe they aren't a mother themselves, or they are already an engineer and they just want to help out as far as this organization, where can they go to do that?
Please send us an email, info@mothercoders.org. We are always looking for mothers with technical skills who have worked in the field to serve as mentors, to come into our classrooms and be TAs, and then also just be around in general to spread knowledge and help the moms that are looking to on-ramp to a technical career navigate the landscape. Another way to help if you're an individual, mom or not, is we are a nonprofit, one of the very few nonprofit technical education programs out there. So we depend on the support, financial support of our donors. So we're always looking for donors to help us out so we can do more classes. Also, if you yourself work for a company that has a corporate matching program, that's another way for us to expand the impact of your donation. If you are working for a company and you have decision-making power, we're always open to sponsorships and scholarships, and we're also open to hosting women that are already on staff and helping them either move into a more technical position or find their way back to you if they had paused their career because they took some time off to become a mom.
Cool. Very cool. Awesome. Well, I really enjoyed our conversation, and I really wish you the best as far as an organization. I will hopefully help out where I can as an engineer in the field. And as a son of a mother also, and and a husband of a mother too, as well.
Thank you so much. And thank you, of course, for being a financial supporter. We can't do this without you.
Well, yeah, thanks again. And best of luck with this next cohort coming up.
Thank you.
So that was Tina from Mother Coders. Definitely check her out. Sign up for the newsletter, the mailing list, and if you're interested at all in the next cohort or into doing Mother Coders on in the next, I guess, few months, if you're here in the Bay Area, I highly recommend it. Also, if you are interested in getting Mother Coders in your area, definitely send her some signal to let her know that something like this would definitely fit. Follow the newsletter, reach out to Tina, ask her your questions, and as always, guys, have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week.